Okay. Now, when you're driving along number 2 highway south from Calgary and you hit the town of Nanton, on the right-hand side of the road you will see a Lancaster bomber. And one of the men who is responsible for bringing that to the town of Nanton is my guest, Fred Garrett. Fred, there were three of you involved in mainly bringing this airplane to the town of Nanton. And who were the other two?
There was George White, a local farmer rancher, and Howard Armstrong, a local businessman, and myself.
And where did you pick up this Lancaster bomber?
We bought the bomber from the War Assets Corporation, I believe, and it was located at the Vulcan Airport. That's 17 miles east of Nanton.
Mm-hmm. And you trucked it across cross-country. When was this? What year do you remember?
We bought the airplane in 1960. Mm-hmm. And it was we engaged the services of a local trucker by the name of Archie Clark. And he went over with one of his large trucks and loaded the tail wheel of the plane on the back of the truck, and then attached chains to the wheels, and he dragged it backwards from the Vulcan Airport. I think that's 17 miles through the Little Bow River, across the Connemara Lake, over the railroad track, and into its present location.
That must have been quite a job. How long did it take you?
Well, I would think that there were a couple of days involved there, I'm sure. And I wasn't on hand all the time while this was going on because we were running a business at that time and I couldn't get away, but I was there part of the time, and I remember sat overnight beside the highway, and I did guard duty on it one or possibly two nights. That's a long time ago.
Now, when you brought it over from Vulcan, there were no engines in the airplane. Everything else was intact except for the engines. And you later got the engines from Fort McLeod. Is that right?
That's right. My one of my partners, George White, negotiated the deal with the War Assets. And he used his own 3-ton farm truck to bring the motors from
Fort McLeod.
Mm-hmm. And there was a little incident of interest at that time. George removed the inspection plate on one of the engines, and Mr. Archie Clark, the same trucker who brought the airplane here from Vulcan, used his crane to unload these very heavy motors. And when the inspection plate was removed and Archie looked at the motors, he said a fellow should have one of these in his living room just to look at because they're so clean and nice. They were in beautiful condition. They were
just recently reconditioned and...
Recently reconditioned, that's right.
Probably stick them in there and you could have took off for a joyride, but...
That's right. They were airworthy. They were in perfect condition.
The engines up from Fort McLeod, and there's another item you brought up with those engines, but we'll talk about that later on. After you got the engines up here, how did you get the engines put into the Lancaster?
As I remember it, through the good offices of a former Air Force officer who was owner of the local hotel here, the Nanton Hotel. And he was responsible for procuring the services of, I think, the Air Force in Calgary. They brought a machine down capable of lifting these motors into place. So the motors were lifted by this, it wasn't the crane exactly, it was some kind of a lift. And so we were able to have the motors bolted right into place. Now, this chap, his name was George Will, and I believe he now lives in Vulcan. I'm not quite sure. I've lost track of him.
That was the fellow that got the lift.
That was the fellow that was responsible for getting the machine here capable of mounting these motors. So,
when was that you got the motors put in? Was that a...
Well, let me see. We got the motors from the Fort McLeod in 1962. And I have to guess a little here. I think it would be at least a year later that we had the motors installed, so that would probably be in 63 sometime.
So it's 3 years now since you brought the plane to Nanton from Vulcan and you got the engines in. But during that time when you brought the plane in, there was a lot of vandalism done onto the plane while it was sitting there, wasn't there?
Yes, that's correct. We weren't able to do guard duty on it all the time, and it's amazing the way they vandalized it, even using heavy hammers and smashing things that they couldn't, that would, pointless affair. You know, I couldn't believe such vandalism.
Now, what is the present status of the plane now? It's quite nicely fixed up, new paint job, and there's a fence around it. Who owns the plane now, and how has it been the last few years?
We gave the plane to the town of Nanton, and they fenced it with proper fencing, a very high fence, and shut the potential vandals out. And then a former Air Forceman who lives here in town, he's now an invalid, a man by the name of Ray McMahon, he asked the privilege to recondition this thing. And he's entirely immobilized and has to spend his time in a wheelchair. But he sat on the ground below the plane in a wheelchair and directed these volunteer crews of workers, and they completely remodeled the thing and put it in its present condition. And a very great deal of credit goes to him, Ray McMahon, for the reconditioning of the plane.
Where did they get all the materials, or how did they know how to paint it, for instance? What colors to use and things like that?
Well, I would hardly be able to answer that, since Mr. McMahon was a former Air Forceman, and we assume that he knew what the proper markings were. And he was responsible for all of that.
He did a very good job, too. Now, along when you've got your engines from Fort McLeod, you also picked up a Link trainer. And did you bring that up with you along with the engines to Nanton?
I believe that's correct. I believe that it was at the same time. Now, I wouldn't like to be too positive about this, but I think that's correct.
And what did you do with the Link trainer?
Well, we stored it. And we stored it with a local man by the name of McLeod, Vern McLeod, a contractor, building contractor, and he had storage available, and we stored the trainer with him, and I believe it was there for several years, but it was ultimately sold to a civilian training group in Calgary. So that was the so far as we were concerned, that was the end of the Link trainer. It was a very complicated piece of equipment.
Was it?
Yes.
Was it? It was then. It was definitely flyable then.
Well, you have to understand, a Link trainer is not a movable. It's a training device.
Oh, I see. I didn't understand what a link trainer was. Yes. It's used to train pilots on the ground.
Pilots, and also extensively used to train pilots for night flying, etc., etc.
So you really picked up some relics from the war when you started on this Lancaster.
Yes, we did, and this was one way that we were able to recover some of our expense in regard to giving this plane to the town of Nanton.
Do you know anything about the Lancaster itself? It was used primarily as a bomber, wasn't it?
With the plane, we acquired pilots and flight engineers' notes, this booklet on the Lancaster, and it is just full of information. Anyone capable, I'm not mechanically minded, but anyone with knowledge of flying or anyone capable of reading this and understanding it, it gives the gasoline capacity in pounds, gives the gasoline capacity in gallons, and for a layman like myself, just glancing through this, it's just full of information.
Why did you do all this? What was your purpose in bringing this old Lancaster from all the way from Vulcan and setting it up here in Nanton?
Well, that's a little hard to answer. I would say for the hell of it.
The three of you just decided to take up this old Lancaster and bring it to Nanton, eh?
I think my friend George White was basically responsible. He was very, very interested in airplanes, etc., and has, in fact, done a considerable amount of flying.
And how did you find out about the Lancaster in Vulcan?
Well, also, I think this was due to research that George White was responsible for. And when I joined forces with him, he seemed to know all about the location of these items. We, along with the link trainer, we also acquired the pods that the airplane motors were stored in. And a very interesting thing occurred here. We were contacted by a salvage group from Calgary. I don't know any more about them than that. They simply came here and were interested in purchasing these pods. So, we found out later that they bought the pods from us, and I think we assumed that they were going to be used for stock watering troughs. However, the information finally came through. They were resold to a group in Florida, and this American group were fitting war surplus airplane engines and shipping them to Cuba. So that was an interesting sidelight.
All the way from Nanton to Cuba, that's a lot of traveling. One last question, Fred. If you had the chance or found another old Lancaster somewhere, would you do the same thing you did with this one?
The situation would be very different. I'd go far out of my way to acquire it, because we understand now that there are possibly not more than four Lancasters that have been preserved. One is at the airport in Calgary. Everybody knows about that one. And one sits on the ice cap up in Labrador, where it was abandoned by its crew. And also, I've heard recently that there's one in Montreal, preserved.
And the one here in Nanton.
And the one here in Nanton. Now, I could be corrected on that, but that's the information I have.
Okay, thank you, Fred.